cut the head of this hypocrite. Let me kill this hypocrite because he betrayed you, Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hatib said, apologized to the Prophet, and he said, I'm just a follower of Quraysh, and I'm not of Quraysh. I'm not from Quraysh, but I was protected by Quraysh, and my family is there. And I was afraid that when you invade Mecca, every other family in Mecca would have a protector because they're from the tribe of Quraysh, except my family. And that's why I did what I did. And Umar insisted that he need to give that spy, that traitor, a capital punishment. He wants to kill him. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّهُ قَدْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا. This man was in Badr, in the first battle of Islam. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اطَّلَعَ عَلَى مَنْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا فَقَالَ عَمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. He said, how would you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not look upon the people of Badr? And he said, do whatever you want. Indeed, your sins are forgiven. And that anger of Umar turned immediately into tears of repentance, into tears of acknowledging the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he himself, Umar, was one of those who witnessed Badr, or was one of those that fought, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, in the battle of Badr. So Umar was very strict during the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was, if you will, a hardliner. He wanted things to be done very accurately, and he was very protective of his Prophet and the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same thing continued on as Umar went with the army to conquer Mecca and to open Mecca for Islam. And as the army camped outside Mecca, Umar took the duty of the chief of the guards. He was guarding the Muslim camp on one night. And it happened that Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, met Abu Sufyan outside this camp. And he, Al-Abbas, discussed with Abu Sufyan what can they do to protect Quraysh, so there would be no bloodshed in Mecca on that day. And there was not a bloodshed. So Al-Abbas told Abu Sufyan, the best thing is come with me. I have the mule of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with me. So if people saw somebody with me, I'm his uncle, the uncle of the Prophet, on the Prophet's mule, they will not stop you and they will not attack you, Abu Sufyan. So Abu Sufyan said, let me go with you to the Prophet and let's see what we can do. So Abu Sufyan was riding behind Al-Abbas on the Prophet's mule, walking into the camp, and they would go with one guard after the other, and they would look and they would see Al-Abbas and they would recognize the mule of the Prophet and they would let them pass until they got to the chief guard, until they got to Umar. Well, Umar was strict. He looked and he said, who's with you? Don't care if you're the uncle of the Prophet. I want to know who's behind you on this mule. And he looked and he saw Abu Sufyan. And he looked at him and said, Abu Sufyan aduwullah. Abu Sufyan, enemy of Allah. لقد أظفر الحمد لله الذي أمكن منك بغير عقد ولا عهد. الحمد لله, praise to Allah, that he gave us you, your neck, without a treaty, without protection. I mean, he just walked himself into the Muslim camp. Al-Abbas said, he's in my protection, don't touch him. He said, no, I will get him. And they started running. And Umar ran to the tent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wanted to take permission before they get there so he can finish this enemy that tormented and tortured Muslims for years and years. And he led the battles, one battle after the other, against Muslims, until they reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they both rushed into that tent together. And Al-Abbas said, he is in my protection, O Prophet of Allah. This man is in my protection. And Umar said, let me kill this enemy. Let me kill this man that has been giving us all of these problems all these years. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him to put it down. And Al-Abbas said to Umar, If this man was one of your family, of Bani Adi, of the clan that you are from, you would not said that. You would not said you want to kill him. But you know he's from the family of Abd Manaf, from the family of this closer to Al-Abbas. Umar said, Mahlan ya Abbas. Hold on Abbas. والله لإسلامك يوم أسلمت كان أحب إلي من إسلام الخطاب لو أسلم. That when you accepted Islam, that was a happier day for me than if my father had accepted Islam. Because I know the Prophet would be happy with your Islam more than he would be happy with the Muslim of my own father. So don't accuse me of having any bias for one clan or the other. It is only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the benefit of Muslims is what he did. Later on, as the events of the seerah rolls, the Battle of Hunain occurred. And we know in the Battle of Hunain, Muslims came down up to the valley of Hunain, and there was an ambush ready for them, and the pagan army started attacking them from every side, and there was a lot of commotion and chaos, and the Muslim army started retreating, and there was only few people that were around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of them was Abu Bakr and Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, and then Ali ibn Abi Talib and Al-Abbas himself, Al-Fadl, Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, and Usama ibn Zayd and many other Sahaba that only, and so he was one of the few that hung on with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they stood fast in the darkest moments of that very tough battle of Hunain. After Hunain, we learned how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered the spoils of Hunain in a place called Al-Jarana, and he started giving away in for those people that just newly accepted Islam, that the faith is not really strong in their hearts. And he's trying to show them that Muslims are not about monetary benefits, they're not about the traditional benefits of the war. In Arabia at that time, one tribe would invade another for the loot. So he started just giving that away to those people that joined recently. And people gathered around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then a man came to the Prophet and grabbed him and said, Ya Muhammad, i'dil. O Muhammad, be just. Be fair. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and he was hurt by his comment. He said, وَيْلَكَ مَنْ يَعْدِلْ إِنْ لَمْ أَعْدِلْ. Who would be more just than if I'm not doing justice? Who would? It's the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the Prophet of God. Umar could not tolerate this position, and he had his usual solution. He said, Ya Rasulullah, da'ni adrub unaqa hadha al-munafiq. Let me get rid of this man. Let me kill this man. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma'ad Allah. No, I ask of you, of Allah, do not touch him. An yatahaddath an-nasu anni aqtulu ashabi. That people will say that I'm killing my own companions. Inna hadha wa ashaba. He started explaining to Umar why. He said, إِنَّ هَذَا وَأَصْحَابَهُ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يَتَجَاوَزُ حَنَاجِرَهُمْ. The Qur'an, when this man and the likes of him recite the Qur'an and read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not pass their throats. It does not go beyond their vocal cords. They only recite it without understanding, without the words go down to their hearts. And the Prophet gave a similitude. He said, يَمْرُقُونَ مِنْهُ كَمَا يَمْرُقُ السَّهْمُ مِنَ الرَّمْيَةِ. They pass through the Qur'an like the arrow passes through the prey, through the target. Just penetrates it and doesn't get anything from that. Does not benefit from reading the Qur'an. And thus the term in Arabic for those people who do not apply Qur'an or go against Muslims that go from Islam against the teaching of Islam, they called al-mariqeen, that they just pass through the teaching of Islam without learning from it, without absorbing the teaching of Islam. So that was Umar with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Few events that happened that are related to Umar personally during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the most important events is when his daughter Hafsa became a widow. Hafsa, daughter of Umar ibn Khattab, was married to Khunais ibn Hudhafa, one of the Sahaba may Allah be pleased with him, Khunais died in Medina, and Hafsa became a widow. So Umar wanted to find Hafsa a suitable man, a man that would protect her, and man of good faith and religion who would take care of this widow, young widow. So here's what Umar says, and this is reading directly from Al-Bukhari, quoting Al-Bukhari. Umar said, Ataytu Uthman ibn Affan. I thought who would be worthy, who would be a good man to offer my daughter to. So I went to Uthman ibn Affan. فَعَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ حَفْصَةَ ابْنَ عُمَرَ بِنْتَ عُمَرَ So I offered him to take my daughter in marriage. And he said, I said to Uthman, إِنْ شِئْتَ أَنْكَحْتُكَ حَفْصَةَ If you would like, I would marry you to my daughter Hafsa. And Uthman said, سَأَنْظُرُ فِي أَمْرِي Uthman said, I will think about it. I will consider that. And he said, فَلَبِثَ لَيَالِيًا After a few nights, he came to me and said, قَدْ بَدَ لِي أَلَّا أَتَزَوَّجْ That Uthman came and apologized to Umar, and he said, I'm not contemplating marriage at this point. I'm not in need of marriage. I'm not going to marry. And Umar said, فَلَقِيتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ الصِّدِّيقِ Said, then I went to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. فَقُلْتُ إِن شِئْتُ زَوَّجْتُكَ حَفْصَةَ ابْنَ إِن شِئْتَ زَوَّجْتُكَ حَفْصَةَ ابْنَ بِنْتَ عُمَرْ And he offered Abu Bakr his daughter Hafsa. And then Abu Bakr did not answer him at all. He became silent. He was silent. And said, فَلَمْ يَرْجِعَ إِلَيَّ شَيْئًا He didn't even tell me anything. He didn't answer me at all. فَكُنْتُ أَوْجَدَ مِنِّي عَلَيْهِ عَلَى عُثْمَانَ بْنُ عَفَّانَ He said, I felt hard. I felt that Abu Bakr is ignoring my offer, and I had some bad feelings towards Abu Bakr more than I did with Uthman. At least Uthman was straight with me, and he told me, let me think about it. And then he came back and he said, I'm not going to marry your daughter. Abu Bakr would not tell me anything. So he said, I felt bad about that. And then after a few nights, the Prophet came and asked me to marry my daughter Hafsa. And then فَقَطَبَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Now who is better than Abu Bakr and Uthman? Is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَنْكَحْتُهَا إِيَّاهَا And I gave her in marriage to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, I met Abu Bakr after that. And Abu Bakr asked me, لَعَلَّكَ وَجَدْتَ عَلَيْهِ حِينَ عَرَضْتُ عَلَيْكَ حَفْصَةَ فَلَمْ أَرْجِعْ إِلَيْكَ شَيْئًا He said, I think you're angry with me when you offered me your daughter and I did not answer you back. And Umar said, نعم, yes, I was angry with you. And Abu Bakr started explaining to him, why is that? He said, فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَمْنَعَنِي أَنْ أَرْجِعَ إِلَيْكَ فِي مَا عَرَضْتَ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا أَنِّي كُنْتُ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَدْ ذَكَرَهَا He said, I could not tell you anything because I knew that the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ mentioned your daughter. فَلَمْ أَكُنْ لِأُفْشِي سِرَّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ did not tell that to anybody but Abu Bakr. So he said, I cannot give away the secret of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ So I can't tell you that the Prophet is mentioning her. وَلَوْ تَرَكَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَقَبِلْتُهَا But if the Prophet did not want your daughter, then I would have accepted that. I would be honored by accepting your daughter. But I could not tell you anything. I could not say no because I was waiting for the Prophet's decision. And I could not say yes because I know the Prophet is contemplating this marriage. So he said, I could not tell you anything. And that's how they treated each other and that's how they felt with each other. Another position, a social story about Umar is his position, his standing when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the problem with his wives, and that is detailed in Surah At-Tahrim, the last surah of the 28th juz. Ibn Abbas narrates this, and he said, I continued to ask the Umar. Ibn Abbas would go to Umar many times about some explanation of the verses of the Quran. And he said, I would ask him about the interpretation of Surah At-Tahrim when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِن تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about two women that if you repent to Allah, then your hearts are actually purified. would be truly purified. Who are these two women? Hatta Hajj Umar. Until Umar was performing his pilgrimage, his Hajj. And then I asked him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Man al-Mar'atani min azwaj al-Nabiyyil sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Latani qala Allahu feehima in tatuba ila Allah faqad zaghat qulubukuma. Then he asked him, who are these two women that Allah mentioned in the Quran and said that you should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he said, wa ajaban laka ibn Abbas. He said, oh ya ibn Abbas, what a wonder. He said, hiya Hafsa wa Aisha. The two women that Allah mentioned are Hafsa, my daughter, and Aisha, daughter of Abu Bakr. And he said, let me tell you what happened. He's explaining to Ibn Abbas the whole story. He said, كُنَّ مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشٍ قَوْمًا نَغْلِبُ النِّسَاءِ. He said, we people of Quraysh were people, men usually are more dominant in their houses than women. And then he said, فَلَمَّا قَدِمْنَا الْمَدِينَةِ وَجَدْنَا قَوْمًا تَغْلِبُهُمْ نِسَاؤُهُمْ. When we came to Medina, it was a different culture. We found women are more dominant in the houses than men, that women ran things in the houses. He said, فَطَفِقَ نِسَاؤُنَا يَتَعَلَّمْنَا مِن نِسَائِهِمْ. He said, our women started learning from their women. So they spoiled our wives, they spoiled our women. And that's how he's presenting that. He said, وَكَانَ مَنْزِلِي فِي بَنِي أُمَيَّةِ. And I, في زيد بالعوالي. He said, he was living in a suburb of Medina. He said, one time I had an argument with my wife. فتغضبت يوما على امرأتي فإذا هي تراجعني. So when I was arguing with her, she was arguing with me back, and she was just yelling and shouting and doing all of that. فأنكرت أن تراجعني. And I just said, why are you doing this? Why are you raising your voice? Why are you? And she said, ما تنكر أن أراجعك. He said, why are you surprised that I'm doing that? فوالله إن أزواج النبي ليراجعنا. That the prophets of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they argue with him back. وَتَهْجُرُهُ إِحْدَاهُنَّ الْيَوْمَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. And they desert him. They actually leave him and ignore him for days and nights. He said he was so surprised with what he heard. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his house, that his wives would do that to him. He found that this is a major, enormous thing out of respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, فَانْطَلَقْتُ فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَى حَفْصَةَ. Then I ran and I went and I visited my daughter Hafsa. And I asked her, أَتُرَاجِعِينَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ؟ قَالَتْ نَعَمْ. قَالَ وَتَهْجُرْهُ إِحْدَاكُنَّ الْيَوْمَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ؟ قَالَتْ نَعَمْ. He said, do you argue with the Prophet? Hafsa said, yes, we argue with him. And he said, would you just desert him for one day or so? She said, yes, we do that. And he said, لَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ كُنَّا وَخَسَرَ. Indeed, you shall be disappointed and you will lose if you do that to the Prophet. أَفَتَأْمَنُ إِحْدَاكُنَّ أَنْ يَغْضَبَ عَلَيْهَا لِغَضَبِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَإِذَا هِيَ قَدْ هَلَكَتْ لَا تُرَاجِعِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَسْأَلِيهِ شَيْئًا وَسَأَلِينِي مَا بَدَى لَكِ. He said to his daughter, how would you do that to the Prophet and not fear that his heart may be angry with you? That then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be angry with you because of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's anger with you. He said, do not argue with him and do not ask him anything. If you want something, come and ask me that. He was afraid for his daughter, that if he argues with the Prophet and the Prophet was angry with her, then she would deserve the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, do not argue with the Prophet, and if you need anything, come and ask me. Come and talk to me. And then he said, وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكِ إِن كَانَتْ جَارَتُكِ هِيَ أَوْسَمُ وَأَحَبُّ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مِنْكِ. And he said, do not be fooled that your neighbor, meaning Aisha, daughter of Abu Bakr, that do not be jealous and continue to argue out of jealousy. That's what he's telling her. Because Aisha is more beloved to the Prophet's heart and she is more beautiful than you are. And then he said, then I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi, and then he said, I heard knocking on my door one morning after I gave this advice to Hafsa. And we were expecting an invasion from the people of Ghassan to Medina. The news that Ghassan is coming to invade Medina. And I heard this knocking on the door. And then I opened, alaykum salam, I opened the door and he said, Aja'ad Ghassan? Is this the army of Ghassan invading Medina? The man said, Bal a'zama min thalika, talaqa ar-rasul nisa'a. The Prophet divorced his wives. And obviously that was a rumor. The Prophet actually never divorced his wife. But he was contemplating that. And he said, قَدْ خَابَتْ حَفْصَةُ وَخَسِرَتْ. Then Hafsa indeed is a loser. He said, this is what I was afraid of. This is what I was trying to prevent, is the anger between the Prophet ﷺ and his wife. And he said, كُنْتُ أَظُنُّ هَذَا كَائِنًا. I thought this was coming. And then he said, after Fajr prayer, I put my clothes on, and then I came down to Hafsa. And she was sitting in her place, she was crying. And I asked her, أَطَلَّقَ كُنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Did Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم divorce you? And she said, لا أدري. هذا هو معتزل في المشربة. That he is isolating himself, he's by himself in that place. And then he said, I came upon him and I saw a servant at his door. And I said, استأذن لعمر. Ask Prophet permission for me to go in and meet him. And the man comes out and he said, I asked the Prophet and he didn't answer me back. So Umar said, I went to the masjid and I found people crying in the masjid, just saddened with the situation in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house. And then I came back to the Prophet's house and I asked for another permission. And the servant came down to the Prophet and then came out and he said, the Prophet is still silenced. He's still not saying anything. And then after a few minutes, the man came to me and said, the Prophet is asking for you. So I came down to the Prophet's room. فَإِذَا هُوَ مُتَّكِئٌ عَلَى رَمْلٍ حَصِيرٌ قَدْ أَثَّرَ فِي جَنْبِهِ. And I looked at him, went down to his room, and I saw a very modest room, and he was sitting on a rough rug, straw weaved rug, and it left an impression in his body because it was so tough, so rough. And I asked him, أَطَلَّقْتَ نِسَاءَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Did you divorce your wives, Prophet of Allah? And then he looked at me and he said, no, I did not. And I said, Allahu Akbar. And then I started talking to the Prophet and I said, وَقَدْ رَأَيْتَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَكُنَّا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشٍ نَغْلِبُ النِّسَاءِ فَلَمَّا قَدِمْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ وَجَدْنَا قَوْمًا تَغْلِبُهُمْ نِسَاؤُهُمْ فَطَفِقَ نِسَاؤُنَا يَتَعَلَّمْنَا مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ فتغضبت علي امرأتي يوما فإذا هي تراجعني فأنكرت أن تراجعني فقلت ما تنكر أن أراجعك فوالله إن أزواج رسول الله لا يراجعنا. He started telling the Prophet the whole story from the day he was arguing with his wife, and his wife, Umar's wife, was telling him that the Prophet's wife argue with back with him, and sometime they leave him. And then he said, this is what I said. And then I came to Hafsa and I told her that how would you dare do that to the Prophet and not fear his anger with you. And then I got a smile from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet was somewhat depressed and he said, I got a smile out of him. And then I continued on and I told him that I told Hafsa that do not be fooled that your neighbor, that that Aisha is more beautiful than you are and more beloved. And he said, I got another smile from him. And then he said, I said to the Prophet, أَسْتَأْنِسُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Should I be more comfortable? Should I go on? And the Prophet said, نَعْم. He said, فَجَلَسْتْ. And I sat down and was with the Prophet. And then I looked at the house. I looked at the room. Put my eyes in the room that he was in. فَوَاللَّهِ مَا رَأَيْتُ فِيهِ شَيْئًا يَرُدُّ الْبَصَرِ. He said, I looked at the house and then there is nothing in there. Just nothing that would be worth looking at. It's just very modest house. And then said, ادعو يا رسول الله أن يوسع على أمتك فقد وسع على فارس والروم وهم لا يعبدون الله. He said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give sustenance, to give more wealth to your nation, to your people. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gave so much wealth to Persia and Byzantium. And they are not following the way of Allah. And he said, he was sitting aside and then he sat up. And he looked at me and he said, أَفِي شَكٍ أَنْتَ يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ. Do you have any doubts about this religion, son of Khattab? أُولَٰئِكَ قَوْمٌ عُجِّلَتْ لَهُمْ طَيِّبَاتُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Those are people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them these bounties and these wealth because this is just rushed and hastened to them in this life, but they will have nothing in the hereafter. And he said, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرْ بِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, why don't you ask Allah to forgive me, Prophet of Allah? And then he said, and that continued on until Surah At-Tahrim was revealed and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came back to his wives. So that is one thing telling you that even when it became to his own daughter, he was strict with her. And he was so fair and just when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and any other matters, even if it is against his daughter's best interest. And he cared not about his daughter when it came to any comparison between her interest and the interest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we know that Umar, in the hadith that we narrated last session in Al-Bukhari, that he told Rasulullah truthfully that he loved the Prophet more than himself, more than even himself. And the Prophet said, Al-Ana ya Umar, now your faith has been perfected. And about his knowledge in the religion, we know the dream the Prophet saw that he was drinking the milk until the Prophet was full of that milk. And then he said, I gave the rest of it to Umar. And he drank the rest of that. And they said, what is that, the Prophet of Allah? He said, that is the knowledge. Other hadith and other situation that also came is also narrated in Al-Bukhari, just like the other four hadith that we mentioned this session. This hadith is narrated on the authority of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He said, one time Umar ibn al-Khattab asked to come upon the Prophet and enter the Prophet's room. And the Prophet had women of Quraysh. They were asking him and getting their teaching from the Prophet. And they were talking and asking and talking among each other. And they're making noise and a lot of commotion in that room. And he said, when Umar entered that room, after he asked the permission, they were very silenced, they're very quiet, and they hid behind curtains. And the Prophet started laughing. So Umar looked at the Prophet and he said, أضحك الله سنك يا رسول الله. May Allah make all your days of laughter and happiness. And then the Prophet said, عجبت من هؤلاء. I was laughing about these women. اللاتي كنا عندي, that they were in my presence. ولما سمعنا صوتك, when they heard your voice, when they heard you coming, ابتدرنا الحجاب, they ran out and hide and hid. He said, Umar, أنت أحق أن يهبنا يا رسول الله. You are actually more worthy that they should be more respectful to you than they are to me. I mean, how come they're afraid of Umar and not afraid of the Prophet? They're more respectful to Umar than they are of the Prophet. And then he said, I started talking to the women and I said, Ya aduwatu anfusihin, atahabnani wa la tahabna Rasulullah. You enemies of yourselves, of your own selves, are you respecting me than you're respecting the Prophet? Are you more afraid of me than you're afraid of the Prophet? And they said, Naam, yes we are. Anta afadhu wa aghlab. You are rougher, you are more rough, you are more violent. You are not a nice man like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet said, Ya ibn al-Khattab, Iha ya ibn al-Khattab. He said, oh ibn al-Khattab, looked at Umar, Walladhi nafsi biyadeh. He's Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he's making an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, مَا لَقِيَكَ الشَّيْطَانُ سَالِكًا فَجًّا قَطْ إِلَّا سَلَكَ فَجًّا آخَرَ. He said, Shaytan himself, if you're wondering how come these women are afraid of you, he said, Satan, Iblis himself, when he sees you walking in one path, he would go the other. He would be more fearful of you, and he would go to a different path. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is also in both Al-Bukhari and Muslim, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي مَا قَبْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأُمَمِ مُحَدَّثُونَ فَإِنْ يَكُ فِي أُمَّتِي أَحَدٌ فَإِنَّهُ عُمَرٌ. He said, from the nations before you, there were people that are inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not receiving revelation, but they're inspired in their actions by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if there is one in my nation, it would be Umar. A few more hadith about Umar. And this hadith is again in Muslim, not in Al-Bukhari. It is about a prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Abu Bakr and Umar together. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأيت في المنام أني أنزع بدلو بكرة على قليب. The Prophet said, in my dream I saw that I'm taking out water out from a well. And he had a bucket. The Prophet, he said, I have a bucket that I was taking water out of a well. فجاء أبو بكر. So Abu Bakr came and he took the bucket from me. فنزع ذنوبا أو ذنوبين. Then he took one or two buckets out, water out of that well. نَزَعًا ضَعِيفًا. And he said he took it and it was not much. وَاللَّهُ يَغْفِرُ لَهُ. And Allah forgives him. And the scholars commented on these words, Allah forgives him, that it doesn't mean that he did not do a good job taking any water out of that well. It's just a figure of speech to emphasize that he actually did a good job getting the two buckets of water out of the well. And we'll give the interpretation to that later in a minute, inshallah. And then he said, ثُمَّ جَاءَ عُمَرُ. And then Umar came to help. فَاسْتَحَالَتْ غَرْبًا. Then the well expanded and became bigger. فَلَمْ أَرَى عَبْقَرِيًّا يَفْرِي فَرْيَةً. Then I've not seen anybody that is more strong, that is stronger and more able of taking this water out of the well. He's just one bucket after the other. حَتَّى رَوَى النَّاسِ وَضَرَبُوا بِعِطْمٍ. Until people were just filled, just quenched with water, just took as much as they need, and they sat down and rested. People came to a state of al-itm, is after the camels drink, they rest. And this is the situation that the Prophet is explaining, is people drank and they took a lot until they all were full, satisfied, and rested. So the scholars explained how the interpretation of the dream goes, that after the Prophet passed, Abu Bakr came, and he governed for 2 years. So here is the two buckets of water that Abu Bakr worked on. And then Umar came on for 10 years or a little bit more. And his entire period of Khilafah, his succession, was filled of conquest, filled of wa alaykum salam, filled of spreading Islam everywhere. We know how the Umar armies went everywhere and liberated the areas of Persia, went all the way even to the borders of India, and then most of Bilad Sham, where Jordan, Palestine, Lebanon, and Syria, and then his armies went to Africa and Egypt and all these places. And that was so much wealth in the Muslim Ummah, and there was so much conquest and so much increasing of the numbers of Muslims all over the world. And that was also a prophecy from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the Messenger, that there will be Abu Bakr, and then it will become for Umar. Another dream that is narrated in Muslim and al-Bukhari, and we emphasize again that the dreams of the prophets are part of inspiration and revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's one part out of 36 parts of prophethood. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, بَيْنَمَا أَنَا نَائِمٌ رَأَيْتَنِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. When I was asleep in my dream, I saw that I am in paradise, that the Prophet was in paradise. And he said, فَإِذَا امْرَأَةٌ تَتَوَضَّأُ إِلَى جَانِبِ قَصْرٍ. Then he said, I found a woman taking wudu, ablution, close to a palace in paradise. فَقُلْتُ لِمَنْ هَذَا الْقَصْرِ. And I asked, for whom is this palace? And they said, لِعُمَرْ. This is the palace of Umar. He said, فَذَكَرْتُ غِيرَتَهُ فَوَلَّيْتُ مُدْبِرًا. Then I remember the jealousy of Umar. And here is that woman making wudu, then he would be jealous if I looked at her. So I turned my face away from that woman. And Umar started crying. And he said, أَعَلَيْكَ أَغَارُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I would be jealous of you, O Prophet of Allah, Messenger of Allah. And another hadith that is narrated in both Muslim and Al-Bukhari, on the authority of Amr ibn al-As. قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكَ. قَالَ عَائِشَةَ. Amr ibn al-As asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who of all people is more beloved to you? And the Prophet said, Aisha, my wife Aisha. And قلت يا رسول الله من الرجال, O Prophet, I mean of men, who of the men are more beloved to you? And he said, Abuha, her father, Abu Bakr, As-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him. And then Amr continued, he said, Thumma men, then who? And he said, Umar ibn al-Khattab. Then Umar ibn al-Khattab is after Abu Bakr. And the last hadith that we will narrate before we continue on is also narrated in al-Bukhari, and it's on the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. And he said, and this is a very authentic hadith, and this is the hadith when Umar ibn al-Khattab was given the glad tiding of paradise directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is also some prophecy of who are the successors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Abu Musa, kuntu ma'a an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi ha'iqin min hitan al-Madina. He said, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one of the groves, one of the orchards around Medina. Faja'a rajulan fastaftah. A man knocked on the gate of that grove, of that orchard. He said, so the Prophet told me, اِفْتَحْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Open the door for that man and tell him he will go to paradise. So فَفَتَحْتُ لَهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ أَبُو بَكْرُ. He said, I opened the door, opened the gate, and it is Abu Bakr. فَبَشَّرْتُ. So I gave him the glad tiding. فِمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَحَمَدَ اللَّهِ. So he praised and thanked Allah. Then another man knocked on the door. And the Prophet told me, افتح له وبشره بالجنة. Open for him and give him the glad tiding of paradise. ففتحت له فإذا هو عمر. So I opened the door and there is عمر. And then I told him what the Prophet said. فحمد الله. He praised Allah and thanked him. And then the door knocked again, and he said, the Prophet then said, افتح له وبشره بالجنة على بلوى تصيبه. He said, open the door, open the gate, tell him the glad tiding of paradise, but tell him he will have a calamity, that he will be hit with some catastrophic event. And I opened the door, and there is Uthman. And there is Uthman ibn Affan. And then he said, فَحَمَدَ اللَّهِ. He praised Allah. And then he said, فَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. Then we ask Allah help for that calamity, for that prophecy that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam predicted for him. And we know what happened on the last days of Uthman, when he was had to deal with the fitna and the rebellion, and then he was finally martyred, and he was murdered in his own house as he was reciting the Quran. So we finish with Uthman with Abu Bakr, the companion. And we get to the days of the sickness and the illness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his last days. We know the prophets gave an order, and in that order there is a signal who should be leading the Muslims after him. And in that signal is, let Abu Bakr lead the prayer when the Prophet is sick. Whoever leads the prayer is the leader of the people that are in the prayer. So he told Abu Bakr, the people, three times, with the protest from Aisha that she did not want her father to lead the prayer. And three times the Prophet said that let Abu Bakr lead the prayer. So Abdullah ibn Zam'a came out of the house and he was looking for Abu Bakr and he could not find him. And he saw Umar. And among the Sahaba, they know immediately after Abu Bakr comes Umar. So he asked Umar to lead the prayer, to lead the salah. And Umar started reading the salah, so the Prophet hears him. Hears Umar's voice. We know Umar had a strong and loud voice. And Umar said, لا يرضى هذا الله ورسوله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet does not accept this. That if Abu Bakr is present, that Umar would lead the salah. And Umar came apologizing and he said, I did not know. He said to Abdullah ibn Zam'a, why didn't you not tell me that Rasul was asking for that the Prophet was asking for Abu Bakr and not for me? Abdullah said, I didn't mean no harm, I just did not find Abu Bakr. And they told the Prophet the story. And later on, Abu Bakr continued to lead the prayer. One position that Umar took is on the day when the Prophet died, he was stunned and shocked. And that was a day of great weakness, when he lost his beloved Prophet and his beloved messenger and the companion that he lived for the years of Mecca and Medina and the immigration and all these battles and all this companionship. And Umar took a strange position, and he said, and this is narrated on the authority of Abu Huraira. He said, Umar said, إِنَّ رِجَالًا مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَزْعَمُونَ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَدْ تُوفِي. That people are claiming that the Prophet has died. وَإِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا مَاتْ. And the Prophet indeed did not die. وَلَكِنَّهُ ذَهَبَ إِلَى رَبِّهِ كَمَا ذَهَبَ مُوسَى بْنُ عِمْرَانَ. Indeed, he went to meet God, to meet Allah, like Musa, like Moses. The Prophet Moses, he went out to Mount Sinai to meet Allah. فَقَدْ غَابَ عَنْ قَوْمِهِ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. He said, he, أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلًا. He said he went away from his people, Musa did, for 40 nights, and then came back. After they said, after the Jews of Musa said that he died. So don't say that the Prophet died. وَاللَّهِ لَيَرْجِعَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ كَمَا رَجَعَ مُوسَى. That the Prophet will come back, just like Moses came back. فَلَا يَقْطَعَنَّ أَيْدِي رِجَالٍ وَأَرْجُلِهِمْ يَزْعَمُونَ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَدْ مَاتْ. That he will punish those who are claiming that the Prophet ﷺ was dead. He will cut their hands, he will do this and he will do that. And Abu Bakr came, and Abu Bakr took his position where he stood up on the minbar, and he said on the pulpit, and he said, مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ. That whoever was worshipping Muhammad, then Muhammad is dead. But those who worship Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not die. And then he recited, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Then Muhammad indeed but a prophet, a messenger, and there were prophets before him. So had he died or killed, you would turn back on your heels. Those who turn back on their heels, they will harm Allah none. And Allah will reward those who praise him and those who thank him in gratitude. And then when Umar heard that, Umar said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا هُوَ إِنْ سَمِعْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ تَلَاهَا فَعَقَرْتُ حَتَّى وَقَعْتُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ مَا تَحْمِلُنِي رِجْلَاي. He said, when I heard this verse from Allah, then I fell down to the floor and I could not stand up, and I knew by then that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. Later on, to Ibn Abbas, he said on that journey of Hajj, when Ibn Abbas stuck with Umar and asked him many things, Umar looked at Ibn Abbas and he said, هل تدري ما حملني على مقالتي التي قلت حين توفي رسول الله. Do you know why I said what I said when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died? He said, قلت لا أدري يا أمير المؤمنين. I don't know, أمير المؤمنين, commander, the خليفة. He said, فإنه والله إن كان الذي حملني على ذلك إلا أنني كنت أقرأ هذه الآية. I said, I thought the Prophet would be coming back because I used to recite this ayah in the Book of Allah. And this ayah says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Indeed, we made you a nation in the middle, an intermediate nation, or actually the nation among all nations. So you would be witnesses of all upon all people. So you will testify for all humanity. And the Prophet would testify upon you. Then the Prophet would become a witness over you, the messenger. And he said, I thought that meant then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will stay in his nation, in his ummah, until the end of time. And he said, كنت لا أظن أن رسول الله سيبقى في أمته حتى يشهد عليها بآخر أعمالها فإنه للذي حملني على أن قلت ما قلت. He said, that's what made me say what I say, is I thought the Prophet would live and continue on living until the end of time. The next day, Umar and Abu Bakr and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, after the Prophet died, they went to the Saqifa, to the place of Bani Sa'idah, where the Ansar were gathering to choose a successor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Bakr came to this place and he told the Ansar that I brought you two men, Abu Ubaidah and Umar. So choose one of them to become Khalifa, to become a successor of the Prophet. And there was that argument that we went over why the Muhajirin should be the successors and not the Ansar. And then later on, Umar came up and he said, Ya ma'ashar al-Ansar, alastum ta'lamuna anna Rasulallahi amara Aba Bakrin an ya'umma al-Nas? O you people of Ansar, do you not know that the Prophet ordered Abu Bakr to lead the salah, to lead the prayer? فَأَيُّكُمْ تَطِيبُ نَفْسَهُ أَيَّتَقَدَّمَ أَبَا بَكْرٍ Who of you would have it in his own mind, in his own heart, to lead Abu Bakr in his salah? And then فَقَالَتِ الْأَنصَارِ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَن نَتَقَدَّمَ أَبَا بَكْرٍ No, we will not do that to Abu Bakr. Then Umar said to Abu Bakr, stretch your hand and let me give you the pledge. And we know how Zayd gave the pledge before him. But however, Umar was the one that settled that issue and settled that argument. And that is one of the major contributions, because Umar, if they did not do that on that day, then the Ummah would have divided very early on, right after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam death, and the religion would not spread beyond where it was in Medina. And we know how important that was after we studied the Ridda, the rebellion against Islam that followed the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar, that tumultuous day ended for Umar, and the next day was the day of the new state of Islam after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was Tuesday. We know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died on Monday, the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, and on Tuesday, Abu Bakr went up to the pulpit, to the minbar, to speak to the people and tell them what happened. And Umar said, asked Abu Bakr a permission to talk before Abu Bakr. So, فَحَمَدَ اللَّهَ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ So he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ O people, see how fair and just and truthful Umar. Even if he wants, if he gives correction upon himself. He said, yesterday, لَقَدْ قُلْتُ لَكُمْ بِالْأَمْسِ مَقَالَةً مَا كَانَتْ I said something yesterday that I shouldn't have. وَمَا وَجَدْتُهَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ And it is not something that I read in the book of Allah. When he said the Prophet did not die and he went out to the mountain or he went to meet Allah. He said, this is not something I read in the book of Allah. وَلَا كَانَتْ عَهْدًا عَيْدَهُ إِلَيَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ And it's not something that the Prophet told me. He's telling me, I just came up with this. And I said something that I shouldn't have said. وَلَكِنِّي كُنْتُ قَدْ أَرَى أَنَّ الرَّسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ سَيُدَبِّرُ أَمْرَنَا أَوْ سَيَكُونُ آخِرَنَا But I thought that the Prophet would continue to take care of us until the Day of Judgment. And then he said, Umar, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَبْقَى فِيكُمْ كِتَابَهُ الَّذِي بِهِ هَدَى اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ But Allah left with you the book that He guided His own Prophet with. So the guidance of the Prophet did not go away when the Prophet, when the Messenger died, that his guidance is still here in that book, in the Qur'an. فَإِنِ اعْتَصَمْتُمْ بِهِ هَدَاكُمُ اللَّهِ So if you stuck to this book, to the Qur'an, then Allah will guide you to the right path. لِمَا كَانَ هَدَاهُ اللَّهُ لَهُ Then Allah will lead you in the same way, in the same path that He led His Prophet on, with this Qur'an. He said, if you want to follow the Prophet, then follow this Qur'an. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ جَمَعَ أَمْرَكُمْ عَلَى خَيْرِكُمْ صَاحِبُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ فَقُومُوا فَبَايِعُوا He said then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gathered you upon and united your opinion upon the best of you, the Prophet's companion and the second of two that were in the cave of Thawr after leaving Mecca and mentioned in the Quran. So come up and give your pledge to Abu Bakr, and that's how Abu Bakr was given the pledge, and that was the position of Umar. With Abu Bakr, Umar was an important aid, was the second man in the Muslim Ummah. He was a vice Khalifa, if you will. He was with Abu Bakr, and when Abu Bakr let the army of Usama leave Medina, he went and talked to Usama, and he had only one request of his leader, of his commander Usama. He said, إِن شِئْتَ أَبْقَيْتَ لِي عُمَرْ That if you would give me Umar. The only thing he asked for Abu Bakr is if you would please leave Umar in Medina to help me. So from early on, from the very few, the first days of Abu Bakr's government, he was dependent, he was very relying on Umar, obviously after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with help in the government and on Umar's opinion. There were some positions where Umar and Abu Bakr had some different opinions. And one of these positions were the Hurub al-Ridda, were the wars of the Ridda, of the rebellion, the people that rebelled against Islam. Umar came to Abu Bakr trying to prevent war, trying to have a peaceful solution, a compromise for those who left Islam. And they left, some of them left Islam just rejecting the whole faith. Some of them had new prophets, false prophets. And some others just did not want to pay the charity, the zakah. So Umar was trying to make a case that let us not fight those who will not give zakah. Let's not fight them over the zakah, and let's dedicate ourselves to for those who are rejecting the whole religion altogether. And Umar said to Abu Bakr, كيف تقاتل الناس؟ وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يقولوا لا إله إلا الله. فمن قال لا إله إلا الله عصم مني ماله ونفسه إلا بحقه وحسابه على الله. He said, the Prophet, how would you fight people? Why are you going to go to war? When the Prophet said, I was given that order to fight if people reject لا إله إلا الله, and they fought me against لا إله إلا الله. But those who said it, then they protect themselves and their money and their families from that, except when it's due right. And Abu Bakr said, that is, it's due right. The zakah is the pillar of Islam, and salah is the pillar of Islam. Abu Bakr said, wallahi la uqatilanna man farraqa bayna as-salati waz-zakah. No, I will fight those who will differentiate between one duty, the salah, and the other pillar, the zakah. The Islam has to be transmitted intact from what the Prophet left it to the generations to follow. Cannot have a compromise in Islam, cannot have compromise in the teaching of the religion. And then Umar said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا هُوَ إِلَّا أَنْ رَأَيْتُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ قَدْ شَرَحَ صَدْرَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ لِلْقِتَالِ فَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. When I saw Abu Bakr's position, and I saw that his determination for that, then I knew this is the right thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another difference in opinions when Al-Ansar came to Umar, and they actually got him involved in something he did not want to get involved in the first place, and that is talking to Abu Bakr to take Usama off the army and not let him be the commander. He was 17 years old, and he was leading a very important army to the north, to the danger of Byzantium, while Medina was surrounded by hostile armies that wanted to attack Medina. So Ansar came to Umar and said, please go talk to Abu Bakr and let him put somebody else other than Usama on this army, to lead this army. Usama is a young man and he may not do the right thing. So Umar came and talked to the successor of the Prophet, talked to Abu Bakr. And then Abu Bakr jumped out of his seat and he caught Umar by his beard. And he started shaking him. And he said, ثَكَلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا ابْنَ الْخَطَّابِ. May your mother lose you, son of Khattab. استعمله رسول الله وتأمرني أن أعزله. That the Prophet appointed him, and you're asking me to take him away from his position. And then Umar said, I left the room and I was regretting what I did, and I saw people and they said, ما صنعت, what did you do? And then I looked at them and I said, أمضوا ثكلتكم أمهاتكم. He said, you go away, may your mothers lose you. ما لقيت في سبيلكم من سبيل رسول من خليفة رسول الله. What I suffered for you with the Prophet's successor. And other than these two positions, and we know that Umar was wrong in both of them, and he's, that's really a testimony that they're human beings and they have difference of opinion and they discuss it. And Abu Bakr was absolutely right. And absolutely Abu Bakr was the right man in the right position, taking the right stand at that time. And Umar was there to aid him later on and support him. And he continued to support Abu Bakr. One of the things that Umar participated in very actively, and he was very right about that, is to make sure that the Quran is preserved intact and accurate and reach people the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God revealed it to His Prophet, His Messenger Muhammad, through Jibreel alayhi salam. What happened is after the battle of Yamama, as Quran was preserved mostly in people's heart and written on different pages, pieces of leathers, and plates of bone. It was all there and it was all written, but it was not gathered as one book. And then when many people died in the battle of Yamama, and many people that died were authorities on the Quran, then Umar came to Abu Bakr and he said, let us, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, do this. Let's get the Quran together and have it in one solid book, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it to His Prophet. And they called upon Zayd bin Thabit, the Ansari, Sahabi al-Jaleel, one of the memorizers and writers of Quran, and they asked him to collect the Quran and put it as the prophets had it into in that order and in one book. And Zayd said, how can I do something that the Prophet did not do? The Prophet had those pages and those, they're separate. So how do you want us to put it together? And then Abu Bakr said, وَإِنَّكَ He said, Abu Bakr said, I had the same doubt. How would I do something that the Prophet did not do? Until Umar continued to tell me and ask me and make the case for collecting the Quran, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided my heart to do this mission. And he said, وَإِنَّكَ رَجُلٌ شَابٌ عَاقِدٌ You're a young and intellect and a smart and well-learned man. And لَنَتَّهِمُكَ And you're very honest. We know that you never told a lie. وَقَدْ كُنْتَ تَكْتُبُ الْوَحِي لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ And you were one of the writers that would take the words out of the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and write it down immediately without any intercession. He said, فَتَتَبَّعَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاجْمَعُ So follow it and collect it and put it in one book. And Zayd said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْ كَلَّفَنِي نَقْلَ جَبَلٍ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ مَا كَانَ بِأَثْقَلَ عَلَيْهِ مِمَّا كَلَّفَنِي بِهِ مِنْ جَمْعِ الْقُرْآنِ He said, the importance, the weight of this mission, it would have been easier if he asked me to move a mountain than to take this responsibility. But Zayd did it. Alhamdulillah, and Umar was very influential and instrumental in that decision and in that position. So Umar and Abu Bakr, Umar was the assistant of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr actually gave Umar a position of a judge in the Muslim state, and he was one of the first appointed judge in the non-Muslim history, as much as he was known of his justice and fairness. However, there was so much justice and fairness in the Muslim world that Umar resigned after 1 year, and he came to Abu Bakr and he said, I've been in this position for a year and yet I have not had one conflict, so why don't you let me have some other work. There was no conflicts and there were no problems, and Umar continued to be close to Abu Bakr until the end of Abu Bakr's days. And inshallah, next session we will start with how the Khilafah went from Abu Bakr to Umar, and we will start with the third chapter of Umar's life, which is Umar the Khalifa. Umar, the ruler, the governor of the young and robust Muslim Ummah at that time, and the responsibilities that he had to carry of establishing the government and establishing the structure of this Muslim Ummah, and yet spreading Islam in the known world at that time, all at the same time. In 10 short years, there's so many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon Umar and the Muslim Ummah, and so many things were done. And inshallah, we'll try to go over some of these issues and some of these events that followed. So we'll stop here and see if anybody had, inshallah, any comments or questions or anything that you would like to add, inshallah. Stop there. Okay. It is narrated in Al-Bukhari that it got to Uthman and stopped.
So there's not something, I mean, there's nothing to it, right? I mean, as far as
It doesn't mean that Ali is, no. Yes.
Ali is from Badr anyway, and he's kind of, so he, Ali is covered by many different grounds. He's from Badr, mashallah. So Badr is all Badris.
Yeah, there are many actually other hadith. Most of these the 10 that are given the glad tidings of paradise, they're given that in more than one occasion and more than one thing. I mean, the entire group of Badr, the entire group of Bay'at Shajara, Bay'at Ridwan, yeah, so many people were given glad tidings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. But you talk about the succession. Right. And the hadith, as it's narrated, is stopped there.
I mean, I just have a little comment. Actually, it seems from the presentation and what you talked about.
Allah planned this religion, protected this religion, inshallah, keep protecting it for to the Day of Judgment, and that's how Abu Bakr was very important, very influential, very instrumental in stabilizing and getting the base steady and right for Umar to come and then take it from there and spread Islam beyond Arabia. Because immediately after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, there was so much instability and so much turbulation in Arabia that Islam was threatened completely by that, and Abu Bakr's role, alhamdulillah, was to stabilize that chaos. Yes, brother. None that I'm aware of. Is there one? The dreams? What was it called?
Not all the dreams. The
yeah, and it goes over these the most of the dreams of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I think it goes beyond that about general dreams in general.
Ibn Sirin. Interpretation of dreams. Ibn Sirin.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us those things that we don't know of our religion, and to strengthen our faith, establish our iman, ameen. And to let us be of those who hear the best of the teaching and then follow the best of it and apply it in their lives. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Afdalus Salati wa Tamm Taslim ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.